You have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm very thankful that He stays our foot when we, even when we fall. A great blessing He has towards us. And we see that here even in Ephesians 1. And we'll be reading verses 3 through 14 and focusing mostly on verse 3 once again this evening. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. And before we read God's Word, let's ask hit it for His help. Let's pray. Father, we need Your complete work now. Not just Your assistance, not just Your aid, but Your complete aid and complete work in us. That we, as we hear Your Word, as we hear Your Word read and as we hear it preached, that we would be given by Your Spirit an understanding of what is going on here. Father, this is can be a difficult passage, and yet it's filled with so many great blessings and doctrines, and yet it's maybe hard to understand. And so we pray that You give us understanding and that You would bless us in our hearing, that we would go from here having heard and praise Your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. This is the holy Word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. And we're focusing in on verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Remember last Lord's Day in chapter 1, we find Paul's prayer to the church, and it's a Trinitarian prayer. He focuses on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this prayer and gives praise to Him. And this prayer, verses through verse 14, is one long sentence, if you remember that. And so you can kind of see why I might have been, I really don't know how to read it. There's no periods, there's no stopping points. And so, we saw that last week. And even the great truths here, the great doctrines that we have here, there are so many that we can take from this passage. And last week we looked specifically at the first few words, blessed be God. And in all things, God is to be glorified. God is to receive our praise and our glory and our honor. And so though this week we look more at the prayer, that this Trinitarian prayer, and we look as we think about it of these three persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are one God, equal in substance, they are the same in substance, equal in power and glory. And so just as Paul here does, we are to give glory and praise to this God. And we are to give credit to where credit is due. When we praise the Father, we don't praise the Father saying, Father, we praise You for dying on the cross. Well, He didn't die on the cross. And so we don't praise the Father for that. We praise the Father. We praise Jesus who died on the cross, His Son. But then we praise the Father for sending His Son to die on the cross. And so we pray, we are to pray according to the will of God and according to His Word and give credit to where credit is due. And so in verse 3, we see each person of the Trinity blessing us. And so we should praise God for this. We should praise the Father, and we should praise the Son, and we should praise the Holy Spirit for what they do here. And so firstly, we'll see that the Father blesses you. That's the first point. The Father blesses you. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." It's pretty simple to see that the Father has blessed us. Well, who has blessed us? Well, the Father has. It says it right there. He's the source of all of our blessings. All blessings when they come from God, they come from the Father. He's the source of them all. As we pray, if we think about it, it's only because of the Father and the blessings that the Father has granted to us in adoption that we can come in prayer and say, "Father." When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said, "Father, our Father." When we address our prayers, we pray to the Father because He's the source of all blessings. He's the source of all answers for our prayers. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit directly. We don't pray to Jesus particularly. We pray to the Father. And Jesus mediates our prayers. And He is the only reason the Father can answer our prayers in the affirmative when we pray according to His will. And the Spirit gives us strength to pray. But we pray to the Father, because He's the source of all blessings. And so we praise Him. And it must be our business to shower the Father with a multitude of praises, not just come and bring our requests and petitions all the time, but to praise the Father for His great work in blessing us and loving us and being our sovereign Father. He has given us every spiritual blessing. Every single spiritual blessing that you have, Christians, it comes to you because it comes from the Father. It's not something you were born with. It's not something that you can receive because of the family, the physical family you're in. It's not something you can earn or gain. It's a gift. These blessings here in verses 3 through 14. The Father's purpose, and what is the Father's purpose in granting you these blessings? We see it in verse 6. We looked at it last week. "To the praise of the glory of His grace, that He might be praised, that He might be glorified." That's why He blesses us. And that's why we learned last week that our main focus in life is the chief end of man is to glorify God. It's not to bask in our blessings. That's not our primary purpose. It's not to enjoy our blessings, but it's to enjoy God, to glorify God. And so we think about these blessings and we go out into the world. Do we do this and look at the world and say, "Well, I'm better than you. I've received these blessings." Or do we go into the world and so that we can continue in our sin? We've received these blessings. We don't have to do anything else, so we can go in and continue in sin. No, neither of those things is true. We cannot continue in our sin, nor could we go into the world and say, "I'm better than the pagan." No, I'm not. I'm just as sinful as the pagan, but God has saved me. And praise God for that. And now, because God has saved me, now I am on that path to more righteousness. I'm being sanctified. He is preserving me, but it's all the work of God. And so we don't look at ourselves, we look at God. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And yet He passed by so many others. And we could have been one of those people He had passed by. And yet He didn't. He chose us and He saved us. And so these blessings come not because we deserved it. We deserved what the world receives in the end. And here you have this Father. He loves us. He loves us so much that He's blessed us. And He's not like an earthly father, because an earthly father, he cannot unconditionally love you. I cannot unconditionally love my son. It's impossible for me to do because I'm a sinner. Nobody here can do that. Whether a mother or a father or a child loving another person, we cannot be unconditional in our love. But God, the Father, is. And He's blessed us with this unconditional love. And how do we respond? Do we keep on sinning, or do we praise Him and glorify and live for Him? So these blessings must lead us to something. Having been blessed, it should lead us. So we think about some of these blessings. We've been chosen. We've been loved. We've been forgiven. We've been renewed. We've been adopted. We've had all these blessings. And so we must come to the Lord, the Father, and praise Him and exalt Him and come to Him in joy and with wonder and awe of this God and give Him the glory. And so the Father has blessed us. He's the source of all blessings, even the work of the Son, Jesus, and the work of the Spirit in our lives. It's all an expression of the Father's love and blessing you. And so the Father blesses us. Second, not only does the Father bless us and He's the source of all the blessings that come, but the Spirit blesses you. All the blessings that are given to you come from the Spirit. They come, let me explain that. If you look at verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So what the God the Father has done, He's stacked up, He's piled up all these blessings upon each individual Christian, each person that is His, each child that is His. And when you think about being blessed or a blessing, what probably pops into your mind when you think of blessing, when somebody tells you about being blessed, you're thinking automatically physical, material blessings. And when we talk about physical material blessings and blessings in general, we're thinking about those physical things. We often don't think about the spiritual ones. And here it says that these are spiritual. And physical material blessings are not bad. God, and through Jesus, He says on the Sermon on the Mount that we don't have to be anxious about anything. He gives what we need. And so we're blessed physically in Philippians 4. "My God," it says, "will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And so that's not what Paul means here. He's not meaning the physical, material blessings, but the every spiritual blessing, he says here, doesn't he? And so He's piled up all these blessings upon us. And so, what does it mean that these are spiritual blessings? Is it spiritual in character, or that it comes from the Holy Spirit? You see there it says that the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. These blessings are definitely spiritual in character. We can't deny that. They're not earthly. They come down from heaven, from God, from Him. But at the same time here, you can see that this is also by the Holy Spirit. They come by the sealing and applying work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 and 14 to give more background to it. These blessings pertain to the realm and government of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who brings down these blessings to us. He seals and applies them to us. And the blessings are spiritual in nature. So it's a both and. The sealing and applying nature of these blessings comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When we are changed in our heart, when regeneration occurs, these blessings come. It doesn't depend upon our condition prior to regeneration. It doesn't depend on our present situation now, whether we have these blessings or not. It depends only and finally upon whether the Spirit regenerates our hearts. And if He regenerates our hearts, we have these blessings and we receive them from the Father and applied to us by the Holy Spirit. And they've been stored up in the heavens. You think about these blessings that they have come and promised and God had decreed before the foundation of the world that these blessings would come down upon His people, upon you, Christian. And then you think about how the Holy Spirit comes and indwells your heart, the eternal God in you. And I don't think there can be any question that whether or not we receive these blessings for eternity or not. Whether our present situation, if we continue in sin so much that these blessings could be taken away. It's not possible. This comes down before the foundation of the world from God the Father. He's not going to take it away. He's seeing, he already knows what you're going to do. He knew that before he even created you. There's no sin that you can commit that where these blessings have been promised to you before time. That he looks at your sin and says, no, I'm going to take these things away. I'm going to take the Spirit back. There's no way he's going to do that. The Spirit comes and we are blessed. We don't have any reason to question why these blessings would be taken away if we have received them. And these blessings are so far above the riches of this world. They're way beyond any physical, material blessings that we could receive. It cannot be fathomed how rich we are in Christ. And yet we think upon and rely heavily upon the physical blessings in life, don't we? The first thoughts that come out of our mind in any situation are usually about the physical. When we question, you know, we look at our sin, we see that we've committed this sin and we've done this and thought this. And the first thing we think about is how horrible we are and think about how God is going to forsake us. And yet, these are spiritual blessings. They're not physical, whereas you commit a crime and all of a sudden you're in jail and you can lose all your rights and all your privileges. Not here with God. Not in the spiritual realm. Not in the spiritual blessings. When you're given blessings by the Spirit, these spiritual blessings, you cannot take them away. You think of how awesome they are. You think of verse 7 maybe. Forgiveness of sins. What a great blessing forgiveness of sins is. Psalm 32 says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Money can't buy that. Money cannot buy forgiveness of sins, and you can't inherit the forgiveness of sins from your parents, and you can't earn it by working hard to receive it. You can't. It's a gift. And you'll never succeed. Pleasure and fame cannot replace forgiveness of sins. There's no Christian who cannot take great pleasure in this great blessing of forgiveness of sins. Here it is. All Christians rejoice in that fact that we've been given forgiveness of our sins. And it's the same for all their blessings here. Do you know these blessings? Have you experienced these blessings? Does the knowledge and belief and the certainty that you have these blessings sustain you in the trials of life? When you go through the bad circumstances, do you think upon these? Think about verses 3 through 14. When you are up against a bad circumstance or you've sinned greatly, do you come back to Ephesians 1 and say, look at what God has done for me? He's lavished upon us His grace. Verse 7 and 8. He made known to us the mystery of His will. We've obtained an inheritance. Predestined according to His purpose. And He works all things according to His will to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. That we would be the praise of God's glory. The Spirit blesses us indeed. He says that when the Spirit brings the blessings upon you, that they are chiefly spiritual in nature. And are sealed and applied in His people by the Holy Spirit. And says in the New Testament, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Those of you who have bodies are getting older and think upon that. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look, not to the things that are seen. We don't look to our own bodies. We don't look to our own situations, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. These blessings are eternal blessings. The Spirit blesses you. As He enters or has entered into your heart, you receive. He seals. First He applies and then He seals the guarantee that these promises and these blessings are yours. The seal. The guarantee. The Spirit blesses you. Finally, not only does the Father bless you because He's the source of all blessings, and the Spirit blesses you because He applies the blessings and He seals the blessings, but also the Son blesses you. And the Father, who has stacked this huge mountain of blessings upon you, and it's brought to us by the Holy Spirit indwelling our hearts, here it says that only those blessings that are given by the Father, applied by the Spirit, they're only to those people who are in Christ. If you are in Christ and the Father has blessed you and the Spirit has applied in your hearts and sealed these blessings to you, but only if you are in Christ. It says He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Maybe we can only understand that, Christians. And even then, it's hard to understand what it means to be in Christ, to be in union with Christ. You know these verses. There are many verses that have to do with this, but one maybe that Jesus says about Himself. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." But He is the way, the only way to salvation. He's the truth. The only truth that exists, it comes from Him. And He is the life. There's only life found in Him. In Christ. In union with Christ. And we can't, apart from Christ, receive any of those blessings and the life or way, the truth. We can't receive them. We can't hear them with our ears, can we? Unless we are blessed by the Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're not competing. They're working together as we are to work as a church in communion with each other to put off sin and to live towards righteousness. Here, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they're not competing. They're working together to bring to you eternal blessings which are wonderful and amazing. And they're only received by those who are in Christ. So what is union with Christ? What is that? And if we're going to understand this verse, if we're going to understand this chapter, I think I said this last week, if we're going to understand Ephesians, if we're going to understand most of all of Paul's writings, you understand that in Paul's writings, he uses the language of union with Christ 164 times at least. If we're going to understand salvation, if we're going to understand the broad spectrum of how God, before the foundation of the world, plans to save us and then does it, and we are glorified in the end in Christ. If we're going to understand union with Christ, we have to understand it here. And we have to understand it, and we need to be able to identify it. He says we can recognize it, to be able to identify. I want to help you be able to see it. When you read the Scriptures, I want you to see union with Christ, where it's at. He says, when he uses the phrase in Christ, or when he uses the phrase in Him, like you see in verse 4 and many times after that, or in whom, when it's referring to Christ in chapters 2 and 3, he uses that, or in the Beloved, you see that in verse 6, when it's the Beloved is referring to Christ. So we have to be able to identify where the union with Christ is. And then we can be able to understand it. We can see the context that He puts around it to give us a meaning to this union with Christ. What does it mean? Well, first it means, it should be obvious that to be in Christ means that you have to be a Christian. Right? You have to be a Christian. You have to be in Christ. That's similar meanings, I guess. We have to be saints. We will look at the next chapter, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12, for 1 second. You see that what being apart from Christ is. Not being in Christ means this. Verse 12 of chapter 2, it says, "Separate from Christ, you are excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You are strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Before the Holy Spirit entered your heart, Christian, and you were, before you were in Christ, here you had no hope. You had not been granted the tree, not among Israel. You were strangers to the promise. You didn't have the promise. You were not in Christ. Also, now, what is the situation that we have that when we are in Him, when we are in union with Christ, well, we have every spiritual blessing. To be in Christ, we must know that we have received the gospel. We believe the gospel. We are Christians. We have these blessings here in chapter 1. We believe the gospel. We believe that we are saved from our sins by Christ's atoning sacrifice. Yes, but it's not just about believing the gospel. Being united to Christ means that we are joined to Christ as one spiritual body. So what is true of Him? This is the key language. What is true of Christ, because we are in Him, is true of us. What is true of Christ is true of us. Because we are united to Christ, Christians, Paul is able to say, think of the language he uses here. He says, God has raised us up with Christ. Well, He's still living. And yet Paul is saying, God has raised us up with Christ already and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Our union with Christ means that we are at least declared the promise and guaranteed the promise that we are that we will be with Him. That when He rose from the dead and secured our justification, we were promised. And in union with Christ, we receive this, that we will be raised too. And there's no doubt. And that we will be seated with Him in the heavenly realms because we are with Him and we're in Christ, in union with Christ. Or maybe we can see this also worked out, because we know union with Christ is hard to understand. We can see this worked out in metaphors throughout Scripture. We think of the marriage. And union of a man and a woman in marriage, that they become one. It's like the union, it even uses this in Ephesians 5 and other places also, that our marriage, the man and the woman, is like Christ and the church. There's a union there. That Christ is our husband, is our covenant head, and He is our representative. And what is therefore true of Him is true of us. That we are no longer sinners because in His we have His righteousness. We're no longer in Adam, we are in Christ. We think of some other places, the vine and the branches in John 15, or the wholeness of that spiritual temple in which Christ is the foundation, and we are the individual stones being built up. That's Ephesians 2, or 1 Corinthians 12, the union of the head and the other members of the body. The church, Christ is the head. Our union with Christ is, in some ways, the very essence of salvation. Union with Christ, one man said, has its source in the election of God. Its source, its beginning, in the election of God, the Father, before the foundation of the world. It has its fruition, the completing work in our glorification, and the glorification of the sons of God. So apart from Christ, our condition is hopeless. But in Him, in union with Christ, our condition is glorious to the extreme. Because we see where Christ is now and what He has granted to us with Him. Because of adoption, He is the firstborn among many brethren. We are heirs with Him. Because we're in union with Him. But yet this union with Christ, though we have many illustrations of it throughout Scripture, it still can be a very big mystery to us. And I leave it there for now. Maybe you're not in Christ. You're like those in Ephesians 2:12. You're separated from Christ. There's no hope in you. There's no there's no hope. Unless you turn to Him. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so are you in Christ. Are you in Christ? If you are, if you've turned from your sin, turned to the Lord, you've repented, you've believed the gospel, then you can be encouraged here. You can be strengthened here that these blessings which God has granted are yours. And they're secured and the Spirit sealed. The Son blesses you with blessings that come from the Father, sealed by the Spirit. Will God's love be taken away from you? Will His blessings be taken away from you? My Son is right. They will not be. These cannot be taken away from the Beloved. No, so we praise God. We give Him all the glory. We give Him all that. When we pray, we praise Him. We focus mostly on our praises to Him, not on our petitions. Because there's so much to praise Him for. And if you're not in Christ, you not acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior over your life. If you've not confessed your personal need for Him in all areas of life, even that life where you live, where you still need spiritual blessings, that the passage says in John 3 that the wrath of God remains on you. There are many general blessings out there, many physical blessings out there. You might receive them if you're not in Christ. The worldly blessings, it's called common grace. But they're worldly blessings. They're physical only. You get wealth or pleasure or power. You get toys and you can partake in activities and sports and all these other things. Great blessings. And yet, that will all perish in the end. On the day of the Lord, it'll all perish in this passing world. But these spiritual blessings, the blessings that Paul is talking about here, abide forever. They're eternal. They come from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you can give praise to God for that, for those who are in Christ. And maybe, you know, you're not in Christ, or you're questioning that. Or you question it all the time, and you kind of go back and forth, is the wrath of God going to be on me or not? I don't know. Sometimes you feel like, yeah, it is. Sometimes you feel like, no, it's not. Well, here we have this great promise. The promise of Scripture. For everybody here, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian, believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins and you shall be saved from the wrath of God. You'll receive every blessing that comes from Christ. And so the Son blesses us. Paul lays down here the prayer that's Trinitarian. He praises the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in His work in salvation specifically. We too must praise God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For the Father blesses you, the Spirit blesses you, and the Son blesses you.